Welcome to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast, brought to you by the Sales Enablement Collective. Each episode, we sit down with sales enablement and revenue leaders from around the world and invite them to share their expertise and experience with the community. Hey, Lisa, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Daniel. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So before we kick things off, can you give yourself a quick introduction about yourself and a bit of background on your enablement experience, your journey up to this point, what you've been up to, and yeah, so let the listeners know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Lisa Bono, and my journey started 12 years in sales, and I was in a B2B role, technology, spent some time in the ad tech space before moving into enablement. And I was a top performer. I loved getting to understand where businesses were at and where I could support them. But really what I also loved the most was the opportunity to mentor and develop others. And that's what led me to enablement. And I've been in this space now for the last 5 years, really lucky that I've had the opportunity to spend all those 5 years at Oracle NetSuite. I spent my first year actually supporting our sales development reps, so our top of funnel, younger talent, molding their minds, really high energy group. And then the last 4 years transitioned to our upmarket and larger account Tiger sales force. And just a really unique opportunity at NetSuite. We partner really closely with our sellers, so I get to spend a lot of time building different programs based on what they're going through, coaching, reinforcement, and then obviously the traditional onboarding that we're all very familiar with. But what I love most too about enablement are like conversations like this, where I get to be creative and share that creativity inside of what I'm doing. And I love the topic of wellness in the workplace and incorporating that when I'm not talking all things enablement.
I love that, and especially the sort of sales background into enablement. Not every top performer can always make that transition to teaching people sort of how to do it as well. So it's really cool to see that. And our topic for today actually is a little bit of an inception podcastception, a little bit, because we're talking about enablement podcasts. Could you explain a little bit about the podcast that you and your enablement team had set up and sort of what the impetus behind it was and sort of what was the spark that got it going?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you what it was, and then we'll go backwards a little bit. So we named it the Top Seller Podcast. We got some cool mics. We had our own jingle, and we got to interview top performers at NetSuite. But really, what I love about podcasts, and it kind of ties into the topic of wellness, is it just really gives you a chance to be well and learn at the same time. And I think it's kind of crazy now too, how podcasts have changed to this video format. But at any rate, I love that you can just move, you can be away from a screen, maybe you go outside and you're still like harnessing information. And so there was that opportunity, as well as we all love to talk about ourselves, right, Daniel? Like, we all love to share stories. And then in sales, there's a bit of like this, everyone's holding their cards close to their chest. No one wants to always share all their secrets because we're a little bit scared that others will do better than us, right? So with this opportunity, everyone was really excited to share about themselves and then also learn from their peers. How it got started really was just very grassroots. I felt there was this gap and found some other colleagues, shout out to Cassie Grossjean and Brandon Flowers and my director at the time, who still is, Gavin St. Louis. We just rolled up our sleeves, we created a new team, and we kind of just reviewed what was happening already going on at NetSuite in the podcast world. We found a way to host. We used our internal website CMS platform, which we like to call OTube, oddly enough. And we got some buy-in, but I will say that we really didn't spend too much on like big approvals or like seeing how this might disrupt our current program. We really just tried to go forward and then figure out how to disperse the podcast into the program, which I can talk a little bit more about later on.
Definitely. It's really cool just to kind of, it's not necessarily a traditional outlet that you think for people to learn, but actually people listen to educational podcasts all the time on their commutes and things. So why not bring that into the workplace as well? I guess the follow-up from that is, what was the sort of process for selecting the podcast guests, and sort of how did you get people involved in that? You mentioned it was the top sellers or top performers podcast. Was it just top sellers that you had in there, or what was the sort of way you structured it?
Yeah, good question. So we focused on top performers. We did have a discussion about that in the beginning. Like, maybe do people not always want to hear from the top? But essentially, you know, we felt like that was important to highlight those performers. But it kind of evolved. I was able to have enough people to support the team. So we were able to interview sellers from different segments. So we had our direct sales force, our account managers, our BDRs. And in the beginning, we were like, just anyone who's ever doing really well at the top, let's interview them and just ask them general questions. But we found that the engagement wasn't too high. People were dropping off pretty early on. Those podcasts were like 40 minutes long, which I laugh because the popularity now of these like 2 hour long sessions, but those are different topics, right? So at any rate, we felt like we noticed in the data too that if we focused on specific topics, so top performers in modules, in working with our partners, in various parts of the selling motion, and we kept it to almost 20 minutes or less, we saw our engagement spike. We saw our listeners were talking about it. We felt like a little bit more. So we really focused on that route moving forward.
That makes sense. And we run our podcast, it's almost 20, 30 minutes.
I know, right? I love that. I saw that.
So that's sort of what we aim for, especially just because the people, if it's a work topic, there's a little bit less, I think, willingness to sort of listen on. But there's a lot you can learn in a sort of 20 minute time period.
Absolutely.
So I guess, what was the reaction internally to the podcast? You said you set it up sort of grassroots. There wasn't sort of, you didn't go get a lot of approval. Like, I guess first say with leadership, and then how did the sort of actual sales reps find it was a successful sort of initiative? How did you sort of get along with it?
Yeah. So like overall, everyone was super excited about it from a metric standpoint. We really just first started at basic subscriber growth, and we kind of treated ourselves like a, you know, startup on Wall Street, and how would other people look at us? So we went from zero to, the last time I checked, it was around like 350. We have a sales force of 2,000. So that's almost like 17%. I did the math beforehand, not in my head. And so, you know, to get to that point, we called that an accomplishment, but we also looked at unique video views to make sure we were not just having, you know, maybe someone subscribed, but we always had the same listeners, that we were getting unique viewers. We looked at time spent engaging and, you know, staying in the podcast, which I mentioned. I think the real kicker was when our SVP of sales responded back to us and suggested a seller and a topic. That was like, okay, we made it. Now Sam's listening. We're good.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, did you also get, I guess that's the leadership side, was also like positive feedback from, like, were reps requesting to go on as well, or sort of were you hearing from them about how they were enjoying the episodes?
Yeah, good question. So every time we would launch a new episode, we'd share it on Slack and we'd say, you know, reach out to so-and-so based on the segment if you'd like to be on it. And we definitely saw an increase of people raising their hands. And I will say, whenever we ask someone, I don't think there were barely, unless there was like a travel or time constraint, people were always willing to say yes. So I took that as, you know, we took that as a positive way to look at things. You know, enablement isn't always the sharpest metric. I, you know, X, then I get Y, but we felt like from those different data points and anecdotes that we deemed it successful.
I love that. And I think it's such a great way as well to just foster that. You mentioned like people sometimes are a little bit guarded about their sales secrets, but actually this sort of sharing atmosphere, it benefits everyone. So it's a really nice way to sort of extend that across the business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for like other enablers trying to grow their credibility and then create that culture of sharing, it's a great avenue to be able to do that.
That's the perfect lead into to the next question, which I was going to say, if a listener is listening to this and thinking, oh, this is a good idea, something I'd like to try, what are the sort of steps you need to take to get podcasts like this up and running and also up and running successfully?
So I would say like four things or so. I thought reviewing what we did in the beginning, reviewing what's currently happening, you know, is your marketing team running a podcast for your external customers or prospects? Can you lean on them for technology or insight? Number two, technology. What do you have available? I mean, at the end of the day, and I'm sure you're familiar, you can get pretty basic with this and just use Zoom and an easy editing tool. But then you can expand beyond that if you'd like. Definitely a place to host your videos or recordings so that you can refer back to them, include them in enablement, et cetera, et cetera. And then a theme, creative assets, you know, what do you want to call it? Putting in little jingles. Those aren't, I don't know that you have to go extreme with those, but I feel like it does bring it all together. And then lastly, find people, because you can do it, I think, on your own, but if you really want to scale a program, you're going to need people who are passionate, enjoy interviewing people, are curious about things. So I say it's like a low barrier to entry, but if you want to scale and continue adding to it, there's a little bit more of thought and planning that might go into it.
That makes sense. And was it the enablement team or someone in the enablement team hosting the episodes as well, or sort of how did that work?
Yeah, it was all of our enablement advisors being the interviewers and hosting the conversations. We did have, as I mentioned, a marketing team who spoke externally to customers, and then it's branded. And we leaned on them for support and advice, but they had their own kind of responsibilities and areas. I'm sure you could, though, like expand it to having sales leaders interview people, you know, different partners that you work with. So if you wanted to expand beyond just the enablers being the interviewers, that could be an option too.
Awesome. And I guess, did you, on that as well, did you have a sort of favorite episode to record or a particular memory that stands out from the rest? Or like what was a sort of, you have a pinnacle moment, I guess, from this podcast? You mentioned that the SVP getting involved. Is it along those sort of lines?
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. Having other people on our enablement team want to be involved and be excited to join. I'd say just kind of overall, there are a couple recordings that I do remember, but it was those recordings that I really developed some solid relationships with sellers. And I thought that was really unique and rare to spend that much time with a seller, to get to know them personally. I remember one woman, I learned that she was a beekeeper. She created bee pollen in her backyard. So I got to like asking her questions about that. And then I could go back to her later on and say, hey, Maddie, you know, we're working on this training. What do you think about this? So the relationships that I developed and we developed as a team, I felt like we were able to tap into for other enablement opportunities.
I really like that. That's almost like, yeah, an extra way of forging connections, especially I imagine in a bigger organization, it's probably, you're a little bit further away from the action, maybe in enablement. So that's a really great way to, yeah, build that connection up.
Absolutely. Especially too, if you're working remotely as an enablement professional, I would say too.
100%. And I guess if you were sort of to continue to do an enablement podcast again in the future or in a different role, have you thought about ways that you'd evolve it or take it further, mix it up? Is this like, I guess, big picture dream ways of sort of expanding it and sort of going even further with it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure. I think you could maybe relate to this because I remember you said I'd have my editing team. I would love a team to edit for us because that always, it's not a hard task. It just was time consuming. So if we had a whole editing team, or I know that there are newer resources within AI that will do things for you. We didn't get to exploring that. I think there'd be a great opportunity to further explore those. And then maybe like on the marketing side, like more fun, creative ways to brand it. Maybe a bigger couch back here so we can have like the cooler, fancy setup.
I love that. I'm waiting to see it now. I'm expecting it.
I'm going to send the expense report. I'll let you know what happens.
I love it. I guess, did you find that the sort of podcast experience and running it, sort of, did you teach you anything about enablement overall, or I guess the way you sort of, did it change the way you approach enablement or give you a sort of new perspective in any sort of way?
Yeah, I like that question. I think it was a good reminder that you don't have to overthink things. You don't have to over-engineer projects, especially when you're first starting out. You know, there were ways that we could have spent more time on marketing, or we could have, I remember at one point where we said, like, okay, for editing, like, good is great. You know, this isn't our main job here. We have 500 other things that we're doing as enablement advisors. So really just, you know, good is great and don't overthink it. And more information in a unique way is a nice thing for a sales community to have.
If listeners could only take one thing away from this episode, what should it be? Do you have a sort of golden nugget of advice for them? If they're thinking of starting their own podcast, sort of what's that ultimate takeaway after they've listened to this?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, enablement is changing. The technology around us is changing. So I would encourage people to think, how can you teach differently? And maybe a podcast is that, you know, maybe you can up-level your content in some way, your own reinforcement skills, but just doing something differently and not just, oh, that's the way we've always done it. And that was really going back to the beginning. That was the impetus behind the podcast. So I'd ask people to think about that and then just do it. Like, start your own podcast and send me the royalties. Just kidding.
Amazing. I mean, thank you so much, Lisa, for coming onto this podcast to talk about your podcast. I think the strangest sort of set of questions I've had to sort of write up, writing about podcasts for the podcast, but really enjoyable episode. I definitely had lots to learn, and I'm sure that listeners will be having their cogs turning, thinking about what can I do with this, what can I do with that. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing sort of your learnings and your experience with that with the community.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun to come on a podcast, like you said, to talk about a podcast. And if anyone has questions, I'm on LinkedIn and happy to connect and share more. So thanks again, Daniel.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss a thing. And if you're hungry for more sales enablement content, visit our website, salesenablementcollective.com, for articles, events, and an easy way to join our Slack community, home to thousands of your sales enablement peers.